Holcino was a neighborhood controlled by young men with guns, adolescents, teens, guys in their early and mid-20s walking around with guns onto their teeth. And now you see the same thing, but it's the police that are doing it.
Marcos helps run an NGO in Holcino called Mundo Real.
So that's what changed. That's the biggest difference. The drug points are all hidden now. Most of them are, the big ones are gone. You know, you still have, they're still selling drugs here. I know that for a fact.
So you really, it's just gone underground rather than it's gone away?
Yeah, just like in any other place in the world. Except for it, here it was just, you know, it happened so fast. Because before it was, you know, this place was unbelievable before. I really thought that it would be, from all the talk over the years, that it was going to be much harder for them to do what they did here. Because these guys were seriously armed. I mean, they had anti-aircraft guns, they had bazookas and grenade launchers. I mean, these guys were armed to their teeth.
You know, they had all of these arms. I mean, yeah. They haven't disappeared, have they? I mean, there were some seizures of weapons for the actual raid, mm-hmm. but what do you think has happened to those weapons? And have they just shifted the problem, you know, for it ready to resurface at any point?
I know that was what was happening before they pacified Holcino, because as they were pacifying all these other favelas, all those guys were coming here. So the last year in Holcino was really the worst I've ever spent here, because the neighborhood was flooded with gangsters from other neighborhoods that came here to hide out, so they were just spreading it, you know. This time, they did arrest the head boss here. He's in jail now, and they started arresting some other people.
Significant people.
They arrested some pretty significant people this time, yeah.
One of them was a drug kingpin known locally as Nem, whose driver tried to bribe officers over $500,000 US dollars not to open the car boot where he was hiding. The fact the bribe was reported and Nem arrested signals a change. But can it be built upon to provide a lasting peace across all of Rio's favelas?
So I'm in a different favela now, which is called Chapo Mangueira. Once again, it's high up in the hills of Rio de Janeiro, and it's a real hive of activity here. I'm standing quite high up, so I've got a great view of the sea. We're on the other side of Copacabana Beach. This community here is different to Holcino in that it has been part of the pacification program
for about 3 years now.
If you look all around you, there's building works going on. There are utilities people working, environmental people cleaning up. Also, all along here, you can see the police presence. Gone are the elite squad that we saw in Holcino. These are dedicated police units to this area. So I'm here to meet the commander who is heading up the police pacification program here and in other favelas across Rio.
Our job here is criminals with guns, it's bigger guns, you know.
Colonel Rogério Seabra arrives in a blue uniform decorated with gold badges. He's in charge of installing permanent community police stations in the favelas.
These community officers are there 24 hours a day, and they're part of the community. They're present all the time. We're asking the community, what more can I do to help and support you? We're trying to rebuild trust in this relationship. We're being trained to interact and transform the favelas. A key part of our role is to bring in social services. We are trying to rebuild citizenship. One of the most important things for us is for the community to get along well with the police.
They hope to achieve this with a brand new police force, which is being recruited at an impressive rate. Over the next 5 years, Rio is planning to employ 13,000 of them. Nearly 4,000 are already in place. These new officers, as yet untainted by the old culture of brutality and corruption, will, it's hoped, project a new face of policing to favela residents. And so far, the colonel says it's working.
If you ask the communities where we are now established, they will tell you that the violence they had before is gone. This month, our figures are showing that in the 68 favelas we are currently operating in Rio de Janeiro, the number of homicides are half what they used to be. Robberies and petty crime have also been reduced by 50%. And in addition to that, we are now handling many more cases of domestic violence than we have ever done before.
So I'm meeting residents here to see how far they're noticing its impact.
Hola. This is essa Nina.
Nina Robinson. And what's your name?
Ginei Chapéu Mangueira. Valdinei Medina.
Valdinei has lived in Chapéu Mangueira all his life. He tells me that compared to Hosinia, violence in this favela before pacification was low level.
So you had the elite squad coming into Chapamangueiro 3 years ago?
Yes, 3 years ago. Life before was okay, pretty calm in terms of gang violence. The problem was public services didn't exist here. We needed better housing, water and utilities. Now all the houses are connected up and the place is much cleaner with better garbage collections.
What do you think about the police here? What are community police relations like?
The residents here are accepting of the police now. It's much better than having shootings and people walking around armed with guns. Many of them were sent to jail and some are now working on some of the projects going on here.
Vau Jané introduces me to someone taking advantage of these new employment opportunities that have opened up for favela residents. Tatiane is a young woman, bright-eyed and tattooed, with hair cut short, who was close to the gangs in this favela, although not involved in the drug trafficking.
I used to work on the beach, selling fizzy drinks and things to eat, but now I work here in the favela, cleaning and doing general work as part of this new program. I love the beach, but this is more stable as I get wages and social security benefits like healthcare. Two things I want to say about these new policing arrangements. Before, kids from the favela used to grow up seeing young people walking around with guns. That wasn't good for them to see that. But we're much worse off in terms of our freedom of expression now, because we used to be able to have parties whenever we liked. The drug traffickers would sponsor our music nights, but now we can't negotiate with the police to organise our entertainment. We can't do anything.
Sound system parties sponsored by drug gangs like the Bali Funk are well known for their raunchy dances and lyrics and can draw big crowds. For Tatiane, this wasn't the only benefit to gang rule. They also, she says, kept highly effective control of certain crimes and resolved disputes.
If anything happened or you needed anything or if you had a problem in your family, the drug traffickers would help you out. They only troubled those who troubled them. We used to live in relative peace under the gangs and there was no petty crime. We could leave our doors open at night, no problem. But to live like that came at a price.
And that price was, as Vau Jané has said, being unable to walk freely in the community due to the threat of gang shootings. But are the new jobs, better public utilities and friendlier officers enough for Tatiane and other residents here to switch their loyalties away from the drug gangs and place their trust instead in the police? 3 years into pacification here, people have not been won over yet in Chapamangueira.
No one here would really trust the police. They took out the traffickers, but the police can be as bad as they were. Police corruption never finishes. To live well here, you have to make sure you don't see or hear anything.
Anywhere. So the corruption is just a human, no? It's the people.
Colonel Siabra is rather dismissive of the suggestion that corruption might infect all their efforts to win local support.
Corruption is a crime. When you get closer to the community you are policing, corruption should decrease, but it happens everywhere.
Rádio Rocinha. Rádio Rocinha.
As mariposas. Rocinha's community radio station has been broadcasting the views of locals about the more recent changes going on here. Some are voicing doubts on the future to keep momentum going in the longer term after the forthcoming Olympics and World Cup events in the city. Osimar Santos is one of the DJs here.
Yes, there are a lot of people who think that. Especially the older generation, they are the most skeptical because they've lived mostly under the old system and they've started to believe that things can never change. A lot of people think this is all happening just for the World Cup in 2014 and the Olympics in 2016, and that after that date, the favelas will be abandoned again.
But Osimar and his listeners are living in hope that a better future awaits their children.